When you look around the world at the moment, you might be tempted to think that God created it all and then just left it. See what happens. Step back. Just let it run its course. People and nations with no respect for one another, selfishly exploiting one another, at war. But God is in control. And when Paul was standing before the Areopagus, explaining to them who their unknown God was, he said, "From one man, Adam, he, God, has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live." So God, the creator of all, the creator of human beings, the first humans, created in his image, created in his likeness. That is that you and I are meant to be like him. And he has determined the nationalities and our own appointed times and places where we live. Therefore, you and I know that there is a purpose as to why we live where we live in this specific moment in history, that God has placed us where he has. We are made to be like him. Therefore, we are made to be revealing God to those around about us. God was revealing himself and has been constantly revealing himself to people, to nationalities. If we are to be like him, then we are to be revealing him to others. We are to know God and make him known. Sometimes, though, we can become a little complacent concerning this directive. Let's take a moment in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your presence with us, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you speak through your word. And we avail ourselves to you right now and your Holy Spirit, that we would be attentive to you, but that we would also be responsive to you, to the things that you call us to do. So, Father, we commit this time to you now and the time that we spend in your word, praying that you will be glorified as a result, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was an old man who went to the doctor, and he explained to the doctor how he wasn't able to do the things that he used to do around the house. He was just having a lot of trouble, unable to do the things that he used to do. And so the doctor decided, well, I better do some kind of an examination. And once the examination was complete, the old man said to the doc, "Well, doc, I can take it. Please tell me in plain English what's wrong with me." "Well, in plain English," the doc said, "you're just lazy." "Ah, okay then. Well, can you give it to me in a medical term so that I can tell my wife?" We tend to be creatures of habit, and we all want to do what we used to do. We don't like to be stretched. We don't like it when change is forced upon us. We tend to get comfortable, and we appreciate our routines. Sometimes these can be called a rut. Well, a rut has been defined as an open-ended grave. So perhaps a rut isn't what you'd like to get yourself into. But sometimes too, we can fall into spiritual routine that breeds complacency and promotes our desire to be comfortable. And fall into a spiritual routine. We don't want to be stretched spiritually. And our message last week focused on personal revival, asking the question as to whether we've lost the key, that key of constant connection with God that leaves us feeling less safe and secure and not ready to follow wherever he leads. And so Isaiah 54, we find the people of Israel are experiencing spiritual desolation, spiritual barrenness. They're in exile, they're away from their homeland, they're away from their temple, away from their temple-based worship. And some of the Hebrew people, some of them were thirsty for God to do something new in their life. They were tired of the same old answers, the same old dialogue. They were a people, some of them at least, were a people who were honestly, genuinely seeking to be close to God and to hear from God. And Isaiah writes to a people who are thirsty for God. And he says that a day will come when God will ask something incredible of you. There's a day coming. So continue to get ready. Well, you too might long for more from the Lord. I hope so. You too might be prepared to go when God asks you to go, but at the same time, prepared to wait when he's asking you to be patient. But for each one of us, God will ask us at some point, to do the things that are mentioned here in Isaiah 54. And at that point, in that season of life, God will ask us to do something specific. And I mentioned a few weeks ago about my dad, and how he was no public speaker. But for a number of years, he took Billy Graham films all around the farming district where our farm was. And he showed these Billy Graham films in public halls, churches, people's homes. He heard God's direction and for a season had a specific ministry. That was just for a season. It was for a few years. So I trust that we might each be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit and then cooperate with him, particularly in that season. So we hear these words from the Lord to the nation of Israel from Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labour, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. More are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Isaiah writes at a time of the Babylonian exile. And captivity meant more than just not being present in Israel. It meant shame, disgrace, humiliation. And God promises a glorious release from not only their exile, their captivity, but also a release from shame, disgrace, humility. This humiliation that they were feeling. And this passage is actually quoted by Paul in Galatians 4:27. And when Paul quotes it, it's in reference to the miraculous birth of those who are now living under the new covenant. That's you and I. We are no longer living under shame, disgrace, humiliation. Through Christ, we are set free from these things, from under the burden of the law. And the metaphor of enlarging the dwelling places and the spreading abroad in all directions is a reference to the growth and the prosperity of the Christian faith, the Christian church, God's family. For Paul, the children of the new covenant would far outnumber the children of the old covenant, and the children of the new covenant would spread all around the world. Thus, Paul quotes these verses. Now, last week, Roz Skirman led our worship service and she challenged us to make praise our go-to position, our priority, our constant. She reminded us of how the army of Israel defeated their enemy through songs of praise. If you're feeling under attack from the evil one, if you're feeling spiritually barren, then sing praises to God. You mightn't feel like it, but sing praises to God. Make praise your priority. And this is what Isaiah calls the people in the beginning of chapter 54 to this same perspective. He says, "Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who never were in labour, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord." Although the nation was in exile and the people are suffering in Babylon, Isaiah calls them to praise their God. Sing songs of praise unto their God. It's not only just for them, but it's for those around about them who see them praising God in the midst of such humiliation. And then he prophesied that although Jerusalem, the city, lay barren, the nation would be restored. Jerusalem would be restored to her former glory. Isaiah calls the people to put their faith in God afresh and then to expect him to do something amazing and to expand their influence. You see, God's desire was that Israel would be a blessing to all of the surrounding nations. Israel was meant to be that nation through which other nations would come under the blessing of God. Israel was not meant to keep God to themselves. So burst forth into song and begin to expect God to do the unimaginable. As you praise God, you will also bless those around you. In verse 2, God is asking us to expand our influence. For God is always doing a new thing. He is always about growth. He wants to do exceedingly, abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. He makes a way in the wilderness. He makes a river in the desert. He is life. He speaks words of life. And he desires that we experience abundant life. But he also wants us to take that life to those around about us, to bless others. If our desire, I trust that it is your desire to truly glorify God through what you do. I hope that's your desire, that you can glorify God. Then if that's our desire, then we'll be asking that he expand our territory, just as Jabez did. And we'll be open to grow and provide for growth. You see, in this text, the question that God is asking is, will you grow? Will you work with me? Are you ready to provide for growth? And that reminds me of a bloke who lived in a city, but he moved to the country and he bought a farm. And he went to the local ag store and he talked to the owner about how he wanted to start a chicken farm. And he then asked to buy 100 chicks. "That's a lot of chicks," said the store owner. "Yeah, well, I mean business." A week later, the new farmer was back again. "I need another 100 chicks." "Boy, you are serious about this chicken farming." "Yep. If only I can iron out a few problems." "Problems? What kind of problems are you having? Well, I think I planted the last batch too close together. We cannot grow by burying our head in the sand. We need to listen to our shepherd's voice. We need to be open to do whatever he asks of us. God wants to expand our influence for his purpose. He wants to expand our influence for his glory. And so we need to be prepared to be stretched. This is the principle behind Jesus' words about the new and the old wineskins. The new way of Christianity needed to be poured into fresh wineskins, or at least wineskins that still had an ability to stretch, some elastic properties to them, to grow and expand. And these were the words of Isaiah to the Hebrew people. He says in verse 2, expand your influence. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. And this was a reference to the tabernacle. Most people were now living in permanent dwellings, but they could recall the tabernacle of old. In many ways, it was like a tent. The surrounding walls were also a transportable structure that was put up much like you put up a tent. And so the people could picture in their own minds the curtains being flung open further, the stake-like tent pegs strengthened, the length of the ropes lengthened, the spiritual influence of the people needed to increase. And so for us, our mission statement should not be just a statement. It should be our commission. It should be our assignment. It is our heartbeat to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. I wonder, does your heartbeat to make Jesus known? Each and every one of us has a place of influence. Your family, school, uni, workplace, sporting club, neighbourhood. We all have a place of influence, and Isaiah says to the people, expand your influence, enlarge the place of your tent, do not hold back. And so how big is your tent? How big is your place of influence? In verse 3, God says to spread out to the right, to the left. You have an area of influence and need to push out the margins even more. And you might be wondering, how do I do that? Well, Stephen Covey suggests two strategies. First, he says that we're best to be less reactive. Less reactive. He suggests that instead of being controlled by our environment or circumstances, that we begin to be proactive and begin to take charge of our own lives, and instead of waiting for life to happen to us, we look for ways to promote life. So instead of letting life happen, we promote life. And one of the best ways for that to happen is the second strategy: to show genuine concern for others and anticipate their needs before they do. Take a genuine interest in other people. The moment that you start to take an interest in somebody that you haven't taken an interest in before, you've expanded your influence. And in essence, this is taking the second part of the greatest commandment seriously: to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. Jesus told us to love those who we don't like and those who don't like us. And he told us to pray for those who irritate us, even our enemies. And he told us to forgive those who hurt us. And he asked us to take a genuine interest in people of all walks of life. And he told us to go out of our way to help others, to show them the love of God. He asked us to expand our area of influence. And in all of that, he asks us to be Christ. And so this is our challenge. In this chaotic world where God has purposefully placed you and I, how can we better make him known to others? So let's start by expanding our influence by taking a genuine interest in others. Amen.